Every time I tell somebody I do poetry for a living, they look at me weird. Like they don't believe that it's possible. I tell them that it is. I tell them I don't make my living off giving people reasons to buy a CD. That's crazy. I make my living off giving people reasons to live outside the box, outside the cell block, outside the cubicle. I tell them that a life lived without boundaries is beautiful. I tell them that the body can do whatever the mind chooses to. And I ain't got no illusions of grandeur. I know where my story ends, but yours begins whenever you get ready to move. Want to be a lawyer? Take your ass back to school. You only got a short time on this earth, so while you here, you better find your niche and work on it like your life depends upon it, because tomorrow isn't promised. Failure's not an option. Want to be a dancer? Get it popping. Work your angles like an architect with all your tears, blood, and sweat. Then disregard the people that'll tell you you're crazy, cause they too scared or lazy and too complacent to make the necessary changes. This life is about risk, jumping in with both feet, cause the answer could be just beneath the surface. And the timing ain't never gonna be perfect, but only 2% of the people on this planet actually do what they want. 60% of the people on this planet work for them. The other 38% are just too far gone. So you better get in where you fit in while you still can. Otherwise, die wondering what could have been. And when you think about it like that, doing poetry for a living makes perfect sense. It puts me in that 2%. I only answer to God. Program managers can't censor my shit. I'm a prophet that prophesies and profits. No gimmicks. I give it to you the same way God gave it to me. The pen is a pistol. The words are a nightstick. I just beat you over the head till you submit. No blue pill, just red. Here's some water. Swallow this. And this ain't about performing. This is two doses of reality. Call me in the morning. This is word is bond. This is you better get your piece of the pie before it's gone. This is one part heart, four parts persistence. Cover the pot and let it simmer. Guess who's coming to dinner. Opportunities knocking. Better pop the lock and let them enter. This is 2005. You can start a business with an internet connection and a laser printer. No excuses. Get on your mission and consider all this the next time you fix your face to ask me what I do for a living.
All right. Welcome to Spoken Word Poetry, the art, the industry, the viability. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am one of your co-hosts for this moment in time, and we're waiting on sweet friend Sean to call in. And we just got finished listening to Poetry for a Living by Lamar Anthony Hill from his CD, Black Male. And I see we have a call on the line from the 323. Hello.
Hey, this is Lamar. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Lamont Weed in Texas.
Okay. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic.
Okay. All right. So, did you call in for anything special? Did you want to share anything with us?
The founder of Restore Project, you sent me a note today regarding our upcoming community event called Music for Love, which showcases talent around East Texas. For a cause of restoring a historically black community within a city called Kilgore.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Lamar. So what I'm going to do before we definitely are going to interview you, and we're going to learn a little bit more, and I kind of like your theme as far as what we're going with here on Spoken Word Poetry. We do talk about the business of spoken word, and we're talking about making your poetry the gift. You want to make your poetry the ideal gift during this time of year. So people are buying gifts, and, you know, now through the end of February, people are buying gifts. That's why when you spoke music of love, we're in the gift-giving season, and we're going to be here for a moment. So I did want to talk about how do you leverage the holiday season to increase distribution and sales of your poetry. And then we have Lamar here who's going to talk about an upcoming event that they have on November 15th in Texas. And these are many things. Events are one of the ways that you can leverage the holiday season. So gift, when you think of a gift, you're generally giving a gift, and you have people in mind. So how do you make your poetry the perfect gift that somebody wants to purchase it to give to someone or maybe even themselves? So at this time of year, you get the opportunity to package your art in so many ways. So first of all, for those of you, you definitely need something recorded or written, if you haven't recorded anything, if you have a book, you need some form other than your live performance of a way to give your art and to monetize it. So even if you do a video, if you do a live performance rather than just showing it raw, take the time to invest in somebody editing it down, incorporating various things, and then printing it. If you're doing it one-on-one and you're doing printing for yourself, make sure you put some kind of labeling and information on your CD. So if you, HP has a printer, a special printer, where you can, it doesn't do full color, but you can laser images and information onto one CD at a time. Everybody, even CD Baby now, is doing small runs. If you're up New York, you can definitely go, you know, all various different places to find people that will print short runs. And I don't know how well much the opportunity exists in other places. Lamar, out there in Texas, what's the opportunity for artists to be able to go out and replicate short runs?
Is that question directed towards me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. So what we're doing at Music for Love is we are showcasing artists. Some of these artists that we'll be showcasing are spoken word artists as well as vocal word artists. And I fall more in the category of the vocal word artist, where I actually take my poetry and I deliver it through song. These
mm-hmm.
are poems and words that I write, and I just deliver them with the vibration of a tune, and most of the artists on our show do that. A lot of them are using, you know, sources that are available to any artist. I'm sure if you create an audio CD or MP3, there are sites like CD Baby, there are sites like Reverb Nation, or you can create a podcast on SoundCloud, or even iTunes. And so I'm sure many of the artists that will be on Music for Love on the 15th, including myself, are taking advantage of those soft media outlets that are out there. I think it's one thing to deliver your talent in front of people, you know, live when you speak, but if you don't have the means of, you know, or you want to go through the expense of actually printing up, you know, hard media, you can always send people to these sites that I've mentioned, and they can download these and they can play these, you know, on any MP3 player. And most people's automobiles will allow them to Bluetooth, you know, their downloadable media through their car while they're driving to work. So I think there's a lot of different ways available to us and artists today to get our product out to the masses.
Yes. So that's really important what he just said. The key thing is, the live experience is beautiful, but only so many people at a time can experience it live, or even after they experience it live. It shouldn't end there. So you want to be able to, and as he stated, if you can't do it hard, you definitely have the opportunity for digital. Now, when you're doing digital, it looks a little different in packaging, and I will even go there. Now, make sure if you do something digital, because I know a lot of people like to go on and do things on SoundCloud. That's great. But still, even if it's SoundCloud, doesn't matter where you do it, put your best foot forward and take the time to get it mixed and mastered. Because you can do it with a digital. You can still get it mixed. And that and all what that's doing is just giving you the best sound quality. Because somebody likes it. What if they want to play it on the radio? But you need to be radio quality. So now we've talked about reproducing your work, and so how do you package it as the gift? Simple things. Gift bags. Tissue paper. Add a card to it, one card, where all the person has to do is fill out the card and give it away. Do you know where people, especially in December, people are looking for gifts, and if they can attend an event and get a gift at the same time, they're loving it. And then if they don't have to do anything, especially wrap it up, they just have to pick it up and give it away. They love that idea. So I know many of you do merchandising at your event. Is there any type of other merchandising that's being done at Music for Love?
Well, you know, Music for Love is a fundraiser that we are generating for this historically black community to begin some restore projects, which, you know, we all know that restore starts with us as individual people. And so when we talk about merchandising, we talk about packaging a gift, which I think is, you know, pertinent for what we're going to be doing. Like, we're going to be gifting our songs, our words, our emotions, our expressions to the community in exchange for having them support the community. So in terms of merchants, what we're looking at doing is we want to work with these talents that we're going to be showcasing to actually grow with us as we grow with this community and do restore projects. You talk about poetry, and we actually, one of the talents, Christine Manns, or Camille Manns, who will be performing at Music for Love, we're working together to do a art showcase in the spring, which will be heavily with, you know, poets. So I think it's important, the information that you're giving out about how to package your product, how to package your gift, to make it easy not only for you as an artist to, you know, distribute your product at a live event, but also make it easy for others to share your product.
Mm-hmm.
My background is in information technology, marketing, and business. I often tend to advise people to look at the avenues in social and soft media because, you know, there's a lot of overhead with stocking product. You know, I released my first CD in 2004, and when I released it, of course, it was distributed through, you know, Hastings and Barnes & Noble and CD Warehouse, and as we know, most of those places are no longer in existence. And so, you know, when you think about, you know, inventorying hard, you know, product, it can be cumbersome. So I really advise people to look at those soft media opportunities out there so that, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Reverb Nation, you can post the link, and if people like your music, if they hear you at a live event, they can quickly take out their phone, go to your social media site and share it to their page, exposing your work to, you know, thousands or even millions of other people where they can easily download it. You know, a download on iTunes is 99 cents. I would agree with what you said.
They can buy, yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they can just, yeah. So that's one thing. If you're using those tools, you definitely want to, and this is what I think not so many of us are doing, are incorporating that into the live events.
Yep.
Always take a moment, you know, you should at a live event take 2-3 moments for a download break, a ringtone break. I do free ringtones for artists to promote them. We do free ringtones to promote a song. That's a great time for people to download a ringtone. So if they're getting that free, they don't mind spending 99 cents or something for the song. So if you do a new release and you're performing it, it's a great way to direct people. And then even in options and stocking, a lot of people do T-shirts and things and all like that. They do so many at a time. There are opportunities to do short runs. You no longer have to. I prefer to do 1,000 at a time because of my cost. So I can do 1,000 at a time, and it costs you about $1 a piece, and you're selling it for $10 to $15. So, you know, the profitability, but that can cost money to get enough for 1,000. But now you can get 20, 50 done locally. It's easy to do that. And that depends on, I definitely say it depends on what you're doing. If you have a nice image, it's worth it. Or like this time of year, people are still, you know, I do like our audience to understand we are at a time in history where we're betwixt and between. There are so many people embracing technology and all, but even in that process of embracing, there are a lot of people that have not yet, and then there are a lot of people that will share information, but very few buy. So, you know, in your process of whatever you're doing, you do want to do a plan strategy. Like, I'm just giving you, you know, all types of ideas and ways to package it. And you do indefinitely the digital packaging. But you even want to do that. Like I said, it's great for to take a download break, a mobile break, Well, everybody pull out their phones at one time and they go. And that's a great call for support. You know, I really love what you're doing. I actually have a movement. It's called Rewind Out Loud, which was part of the Black Business Space Value Tour. And it's defining negative imaging of blacks in art and music. And one of the things, you know, we state that the artist is the storyteller and the keeper of our culture. They
yep.
hold a unique place and position within our community, any community. And the concept of a starving artist should not really be. Because when we're gone, what's going to live on? We're not going to live on. It's going to be the art that lives on, and that's going to tell a story. And then what story do we want to tell about us? If we don't own the art, we don't control the story. So when we're upset about the imaging and everything that's being shown, we have to control, and the way you control the stories is by owning the art. So whether that's a visual artist, a spoken word artist, a music artist, we need to own the art. So it's great to share, important to purchase. And we are blessed now that we can go to iTunes. I'm a radio. People give me a lot of work. But if I have the opportunity to purchase, or if I look for artwork, I buy it. I don't ask them. I know a lot of people say, oh, give me this. You, unless it's someone I just don't know. I'm not asking to send me what you have because I just don't know yet what to look for. So then I can understand. But if I just go ahead and purchase it. And this is why I know still many of us are not out there yet. So we're at that in-betwixt and between. So you do need to know your audience. But when you can do short runs on different things or have opportunities, even when you're doing digital packaging, the other opportunity to make your poetry or your art a gift, partner with people. How many of you know people that do baskets? Fabulous baskets. How many of you are topical? Like, this is music for love. So what if people, you know, during Valentine's, they're doing baskets for love, or even if it's, you know, the Christmas season, they're doing couple baskets and different things. If that's relevant, if your music is relevant to that, why not, hey, why don't you do a few and add my music in? And you guys make a deal. This is where you package. When it comes to your soft media, go to some of these people who have blogs. Or if you have a blog, why not do, you know, great suggestions for holiday gifts? When you do that, people are coming to you to find out these great suggestions. You can do cross-promotes with people to drive traffic, again, to your poetry and music. So in that, but for that to happen, you have to record. There's still a lot of poets out there who are not recorded. If you don't have your work recorded some type of way, you can't even do soft media. And as you state, yes, go ahead, sir.
No, I was agreeing with you, and I think you made a very valid point earlier, too, when you talked about the quality of a recording. You know, oftentimes, you know, artists aren't really clear on the ins and outs of producing a product. You know, we usually mm-hmm. look for producers to have that knowledge, but I think in the intro of your show, you know, you said, I think the phrase was something like you can start a business with, you know, the internet and a printer. So,
yeah.
You know, technology.
And that was in 2005 when he did that.
You know, I think technology, you know, has really made it in a way where artists can quickly ascertain the wisdom of what would be required to produce,
mm-hmm.
You know, a simple audio recording that is, as you stated, mixed and mastered, meaning if you got four songs on a track or on a CD, they all are at an equal level. Like, one's not louder, and, you know, someone's in their car, and it's an unpleasant experience where they're one song
mm-hmm.
and they have to turn it up or pull it, and they have to turn it up, and then they get to the next one, and it's too loud, so they have to turn it down. Like, mastering keeps it equal where the volume is consistent throughout the media. So all of those things are searchable on the internet, and it's pretty much, you know, there's apps on your phone where you can download and get a really good quality sound that even has tools built into that app that will let you mix it. you know, and then you can output it and you know, send it to a master and have all of the songs mastered onto one CD. So it's really economical using technology now, and I think it's important that the poets and other artists who record their voice just, you know, do some searches to see what's available, what tools are available that really can have you create a nice quality standard product, you know, within a reasonable budget that will save you some money to print up those thousands, as you stated, you know.
And even with printing those thousands, now make sure that you have a strategy. I really in that. And this is sometimes people want to know. This is sometimes why people do engage managers or engage consultants and different things. They can help you come up with strategies, and it's good to have a team. But in that, if I'm going to invest in something to a certain point, I have to be able to see kind of what the end is going to be. If I'm going to get 1,000 CDs, I have to figure out how I'm going to unload 1,000. I'm not going to just buy 1,000 and hope I sell them. So, yep. How do I unload 1,000? And, again, this is where we're talking about gifting. When we speak on gifting and partnering and different things, when you do want to make an investment in a quantity like that and larger, look at things kind of on a distribution level. Where can you wholesale these? And again, that depends on your topic, whether it's your music, poetry. Right now, why not partner with some? If I know a lot of poets work with vocal artists on a single production, and that can even go into. But, you know, what if you have a friend, you know, like, I got 3 or 4 good quality cuts I'm ready to go with. Well, what if your vocalist, a vocal friend, has 3 or 4 cuts they're ready to go with? You already got 8 cuts. You know, that could be enough. Maybe find someone else to do 2 more or 4 more. You have an album, you have an EP. It's mixed. Don't put yourself in a box how that can happen, because which you guys are coming together, you're saving on calls, you're getting out of full production, but then you also want to look at topic-wise, who might want to wholesale these? Who can I give these a number of for less? Because, you know, you're getting a good markup. So when you can get quantity out like that on a wholesale basis, these people then selling it retail, that's just not covering your costs back for what you invested, you're really also doing distribution. So when you have those opportunities to get out on wholesale levels, that's distribution, because you're getting someone, they're purchasing, but their goal is to sell that retail. So now they're going to expose your music to a whole bunch of other people that if you had to go out and do all of that yourself, you may not get that exposure. So even if you get 1,000 CDs and you let 800 of them go wholesale, it's worth it, because you have paid for and profited from distribution. And normally you would have to just pay for that. So, you know, be strategic. Think about it, you know, but when you do that investment, have a plan for how you're going to unload those 1,000. You know, how many shows do I need to do to sell 1,000? And then be strategic. Like, so now we're going to go back to Lamar with Music for Love, because he's our example in a show. I just want to throw a couple more ideas about gifting. I told you about partnering. If you partner with blogs, partner with people that do gifts. If people sell other type of gifts that you can just add yours to, again, packaging. It's about packaging. And make your poetry part of the package, or whatever type of merchandising. And a lot of people have T-shirts. You have your DVDs, your videos. Look at doing packaging, and look at doing special digital packaging. How can you guys put a digital pack together, drive traffic? And what you would do is you bundle everything. We would create a landing page. You would send everyone to that landing page. From there, they could look, experience, test, and then buy. And there are all types of opportunities and creative ways. But what I really wanted to do with this show to get your creative brain thinking, How can I make my poetry the perfect gift? And then at your events, if you're merchandising, even if other people are merchandising, again, from now through, especially during the month of December, and even now, like Music for Love, that's a special event that doesn't happen all the time. You make sure someone is there, if you either have it or have someone come there who's gift wrapping, who's selling gift bags and cards and those little things that make the gifting experience complete. So if they do go around and buy a CD or something from an artist, because I'm right, the artist will have an opportunity to sell their CDs. Is that correct?
Yes, we're creating. What we're going to do with Music for Love is we brought these artists together. We're going to showcase them. And we've been building significant traction online, and we've been working with partners. You talked about partnership, and that's certainly a strategy that we're looking at doing, where we have a broader net of people that are promoting to a broader demographic of listeners, buyers, consumers. So for this particular show, we're going to be showcasing these artists, and we're going to be announcing other opportunities that we'll be doing for Restore Project to showcase artists, to expose artists, to work with them to make sure that we create a product that, you know, we've strategically partnered with them that really elevates all of us. You know, we're looking at creating a compilation CD from the 8 artists that are going to be showcased in this Music for Love. And obviously when we go into other events, you know, this is an opportunity for us to merchandise. So there's a lot of different ways, but you talked about strategic partnership, and I think that's, you know, that's really an opportunity for poets, for any other artist, is to look at opportunities. One of the things that I like to focus on to support artists is knowing that if there is something that is near and dear to you, for example, cancer, if you've been impacted by cancer and you're a poet and you write about just life experiences, if you have a connection with cancer, you actually can get in service to raising awareness about cancer, doing cancer walks, and those create opportunities for you to be an artist, to be a poet, and it exposes your product, if you have product, to, you know, demographic people that might be interested just because of the cancer connection or whatever the cause might be. So that's another strategy to look at, too, is being in service for things that are near and dear to you.
Now, on compilations, I'm going to share with you one of the most successful ventures of compilations I've known. And I know a lot of people had success, that they had this exposure and all. I really do advise artists, when you're participating on compilation and paid, and it's worth paying. There's a reason, because, you know, when you pay, it helps get it distributed. But you do need to know, again, how is it going to be distributed, who is it going to be distributed to, and then what's also important, what is the most likelihood when the people it's distributed to that they will actually listen? I get a lot of free music, and I'm telling 90% of it I don't listen to at all. Then another 7% of it might take me a few years to get to it before I listen to it, because people just give you things when I haven't been requesting. You know, it's just pushed to me. So they don't know it's not my type of music. It's not. It's a lot of reasons. So you want to be mindful. But what the suggestion I want to share with you is Gospel USA Magazine. They do 2 compilations a year, and they put it inside the magazine. Each track is listed with the song of the track, who wrote it, and a contact number for them. Then they take their compilation to local, and they're in Florida, the Florida base, and they take their compilation to radio stations. And they just do it twice a year. But I had our gospel group and all in there, and they paid for the ad. It wasn't the cheapest thing, but they got a nice ad. They were in. They got calls from radio stations, and they got requests for their music. Now, out of all the things we did, we paid for radio play and all. That participation in that compilation got the most response. So if look at, and I will even give you a name, it's called Trendsetter to Trendsetter, Trendsetter to Trendsetter Magazine. And I'll, you know, afterwards hook you up with the publisher. But look at opportunities maybe with magazines if they still do print, if they would like to include, distribute for free the compilation. That is a great partnership, and you will see that that will get a higher listen rate.
Oh, awesome.
Than just being handed out. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we've talked about all different ways of gifting, and if you guys want to contact me, my number is 1-877-552-7012, extension 1111. You can email talk to us at mastergriotradio, and that's griot.com. So talk to us at mastergriotradio.com. If, you know, you want to brainstorm, if you, you know, have some thoughts and you want to pass them by me, and just hit me up, and let's look at great ways in order to make your poetry the perfect gift. So now we're going to go, and now I want to learn more. You can see, one thing you can realize that this man, this creator, and this producer here is very knowledgeable. He has a business background, marketing background, a tech background, as well as a music background. He's an artist himself. So he's very knowledgeable. So he's putting together a very purposed event. So we know it's called Music for Love. And when you did you say Restore? Is that R-E-S-T-O-R-E?
Correct. Restore Project.
Okay. Now, when you say Restore, what do you mean specifically?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
what's the call
to
action?
Yeah, so I returned, lived in Los Angeles, you know, recording artist, did some television, moved to Europe, toured, and 2013, you know, November, I returned to East Texas where I was born. My mom still lives here. And,
okay.
You know, I thought to myself, you know, Lamont, you're back in East Texas, you know, what can you do to impact the community? And what I realized is the community where my mom lives has been in a decline over, you know, many years. I was born here in 1974, and, you know, for 40 years now, you know, it's been in a decline. This was a predominantly black community. It had the city's segregated black high school, which was C.B. Dansby High School, that was desegregated in 1968. And from my research, that kind of sparked the decline of the community. In the 1980s, it was impacted by crack cocaine, once that was, you know, the new drug on the street, and that further ravaged the community. I left the community in the late 90s, moved to Dallas, and later, you know, worked in corporate, then moved to California pursuing my music career, writing, producing, all those things. And so now I'm back, you know, 40 years after I was born, and realized that I can impact the community, you know, based on my experience, my background, my worldview. I've lived in communities across the U.S. and also in Europe and in other parts of the world and seen how they work. And from my recollection and experience, this community can also work. So when I returned last fall, I began small projects around my mom's house to impact this community. And I realized that the rest of the community really needed what I was bringing. So I started Restore Project, not specifically to restore the facade or buildings, but to restore the integrity of the people who live in the community, to restore a sense of pride in the people in which, you know, they recognize the community in which they live. They recognize the neighbors where they live. They want a beautiful community. Mm-hmm. So we started Restore Project. We started with really simple, you know, landscape, gardening things. And now it's grown into enrolling city leadership, the residents, and nonprofits to actually raise funds to take on some of the projects that the residents in this community have identified that they want to implement. So that's what Restore Project is. What Music for Love is being an artist. I know that it's difficult, and we talked about some of the pitfalls that artists fall into. They get their product, maybe they overspend on merchandise, they don't have a strategy of how to get it out. You know, the music industry is always changing. You got downloads, you got people ripping off songs. Even if you get a song on, you know, iTunes or, you know, any of the internet stores, once it's out on the internet, people can burn it, record it, share it, you know. So my question was, how do we connect artists and also connect people who buy music that artists, whether you're a poet or a singer, like how do we connect consumers with a product and they get a value, a sense of value in the work that goes into, you know, someone extrapolating out of their imagination a story and articulating, creatively articulating it, going through the process of putting it on some form of media, whether it's soft copy or hard copy, and then making it available that you could take a piece of them with you to inspire you. Like, how do we get their value that they don't rip that off, they don't download it for free, they don't bootleg it, but they actually purchase it? And I thought how we could do that is actually have music for love, meaning the artist be in service, not chasing, trying to get fans, but being in service to the community, to opportunities, to causes that is near and dear to them, that invites consumers who also are connected to those causes out to their event where they get to showcase who they are and what they do, and then offer their music in a way to not only support the cause, but also support themselves as an artist. And in 2012, we launched in Los Angeles Music for Love. Now, being that Restore Project is a cause that inspires people to, you know, clean up, repair, restore their community where they live, which not only restores their integrity and their sense of pride in their community, but also boosts economic development for the cities in which they live, I thought, you know, it would be a great combination to showcase all the musical talents that are in this area that can be a contribution to this project, this cause, and also expose them as artists who are contributing to this cause and draw people out and really create an experience around the cause and also around these artists who are giving their all to support this cause. And that's how we incorporated Music for Love with Restore Project, that we will be having our first fundraiser this weekend here in historic Dansby Village.
Okay, that sounds awesome. It sounds like a lot, like we think a lot alike with the VBS Value Tour that we created, which we're partnering with the Urban Tech Fair, which I'm the chairperson and CMO for the Tech Fair. I really want to work with you. We would really love to work with you on your project. But it's really important in that, like, we put together a tour that, and this was also service-based. And I think, like, what is really important is that, you know, artists get around these, you know, things that make sense. Get around them because the fans will come. If you line up and, like, you listen to our shows and do the business in as you should, you will attract the business and things you need. You know, one thing you really want to begin to do is identify the super fan. But we are spiritual beings, and there are spiritual laws that are always in effect around us. So if you put your plan in place and you think of your plan and you put your business in place and structure, you will begin to attract that which you need. But you cannot receive anything with a closed hand. So when you're giving and you're giving of yourself and that which is important to you, and, you know, and giving in a way that's going to make an impact. Sometimes people have a big heart. They want to do something and give and ask to be free, but a lot of times aren't doing it effectively enough that it's not reaching the people. People don't know about it. They don't show up. So the impact's not made. But something like this, Music for Love, is very focused. And I know I was impacted just I used to be in charge of youth ministry at my church for a few years, and we went with my girlfriend, with her church, to New Orleans for a youth conference. And what impressed me most was while we were there in that city, we went out and did service for that city.
Yeah.
That's the kind of give back, and that's the impression and imprint you want to make. You know, you're coming into that city and you're asking people to come out, watch us, oh, this, okay, here's something we could give back. And,
yep.
I mean, we were cleaning up a graveyard, but in New Orleans, they're above ground, so they're not like ours. We weren't walking on top of graves. Those are mausoleums. But this was right next to a project area. There were debris and things that shouldn't have been in there because right around, you got kids riding around on bikes. But they came out. They were asking, what were we doing? They got to meet us, and we're city folk. We're from Philadelphia, so, you know, those southern folks got to meet people from Philadelphia and people from all over, and they're like, wow. And they were just impressed, like, you guys came out here just to do this? And that made a difference and an impact. And I was glad that we went into one of our own communities to do work. So it's really important when you have these strategic things. It's definitely a good way to give. It's something you should support. There are many people. I want to give a shout-out to the Love Us Project in Philadelphia, and that's Miss Wise. They've been doing it for several years. And they're a really focused project, and that's something that's growing every year. So there are many, and that's one thing I have to say about poets in the poet industry. They're very good with doing projects that are community-based and really give back. It just sometimes we want to kind of tighten up the business thing so that when you are doing these great things, you know, the opportunity for your art will benefit because you may come in contact with someone or something and you don't have to go back, record, and do, because you already had these things in place that if
correct.
You connect with opportunity, you're ready for it.
That's
and
right.
So, yes, and I really want us to grow outside of our boxes. Poetry is, you know, some people can do R&B, they can do hip-hop, they can do jazz, they can do blues, they can do pop, country. Spoken word can be all of that, and then the word can stand alone all by itself. That is the diversity of spoken word, and that could be the same poem that could be with all of those. So there's something very special about spoken word, and very special about the word that we have to understand. And as he stated, Lamar, you know, hey, most singers and songwriters, they're just poets singing their words
correct.
As opposed to just speaking them.
Yep, that's correct.
And so, again, we talk about that opportunity in the developing an industry and looking at it as an industry and all the opportunity for your words, that's another opportunity. And I feel everyone should have a team. So with a spoken word artist, you definitely should have a music artist, some musicians, and a visual artist. You should have a team of artists, not that aren't just poets and spoken word artists, because you can feed off of one another. At the same time, spoken word artists, you need to let other artists know they should have a spoken word artist on their team. And what I just want to add to this great story is, again, as I stated, the artist is the storytelling keeper of our culture. So anyone listening in, whether you're artist, if you're not an artist, understand how important the artist is. They're not just these big superstars. And you got to be mindful with mainstream media, because if everything's taken away and we weren't here, what story would we be telling? And if you don't like that story, you need to go out and find these phenomenal independent artists that have something real to say with their words. And we need to start supporting them. And that means buying their music. Like he said, digital, you can get music for 99 cents. So if you can commit to spend $5 a month and stop buying bootleg movies and stop, ripping music. Don't do that. It's just not necessary, because you can just buy music. There are opportunities for free downloads. You can get music. I got mixes right now I go put on a stereo from music I purchased, music our artists have offered for free. I can put mixes together all day long. So there's just no need to really, really go do that. And if you only want certain cuts and all, it's like 99 cents. We can afford to do that. and I do impress upon people. So what we need, Lamont, is the call to action.
Yes. So the call to action for Music for Love, and this is, you know, the fundraiser for Restore Project, which is the meat of what we're talking about. Restore Project is a national project that restores neglected communities within cities. We work with city leadership, the residents, and nonprofits to achieve these restores. So Dansby Village is the first project that we're taking on, but we're in conversation with other cities around the nation, California, North Carolina, to also do restore projects. And so the call to action is to support us in our initial efforts, which is this first restore project, Dansby Village. We're on Facebook under Restore Project, where we're posting all of the links. We have a Fundly account where you can make a donation. You can make $10, $1, 50 cents, $100, whatever, you know, is on your heart to support us in our efforts in growing our campaign. These initial funds allow us to get established so that this pattern that we're creating in East Texas, we can implement across the nation. My goal and intention is to have other communities within cities who feel like, you know, I'm not connected with my city council, I'm not, you know, my neighborhood that I love is not getting, you know, financial resources. I don't know how to go about doing it. I don't know how to engage my neighbors. What we want to do at Restore Project is we want to create a model that we're able to go in and support other communities who reach out to us in implementing these same, you know, practices, how to galvanize your residents, how to have those residents reach out to city council and your mayor and economic development and chamber of commerce to get them involved, to see the value in your community. How to work with nonprofits, whether it's Habitat, whether it's, you know, a local company that, you know, or organization that cleans up your city, or even a church as we partner with. And then taking all three of those pieces and having it work to where you can begin to see some results within your community. That's what we want to do, and we want to work with talent. We want to work with poets and recording artists and, you know, speakers in those communities to create projects like or opportunities like Music for Love that supports in that restoration, that supports in maintaining that restoration. So our call to action for those who are listening, wherever you might be in the nation, is to find us on Facebook under Restore Project East Texas. We're a group. We'll add you to the group. It's open. You can see all of our posts. And click on our Fundly donation link and make a contribution to support our cause. Our goal for this weekend is $2,000. Our overall Restore Project goal is $50,000. And we hope to hit that by the end of the year. And, you know, anyone that will go out and support us would help. You can find me on Facebook. I'm Lamont Wheat, L-A-M-O-N-T, like Safford and Son. Wheat, like the grain, W-H-E-A-T. You can add me, and I'll connect you to Restore Project, or you can send me an email with your questions, concerns, how you might want to get involved, to LamontWheat@gmail.com.
I just went to your Facebook page, you with that smile. just to let everyone know, all the links that Lamont stated are in the chat room. I do a chat, and then I do a copy of the chat at the Master Griot Radio Group so that people can go back as they listen. They can still get those links. So the links to the Restore Project group and where you can make your donation, that's in there. Lamont's Facebook is in there. Now, you were saying a .com. What was the .com you just gave me?
Right now we don't have a website. That's what we want to create after fundraiser.
Okay.
But so if they connect with us on the group, we'll be updating everybody about the .com, and then as we bring on other cities and other restore projects, that's where we'll be posting and sharing all that information.
Well, I'm so glad you reached out to me and asked me, and, you know, when I read the event, I said, oh, call in tonight. This would be great. And normally it's not even, this show is second Mondays, but somehow the calendar got wrong, and I went to do my show yesterday, and it had for today, for the 11th. So, you know, all things are in divine order. But
right.
I do really want to invite you to partner with us at the Urban Tech Fair. Go to urbantechfair.org, and we put on urban tech fairs in various cities. Our goal is to showcase the talent, innovation, and resources, a.k.a. Silicon Valleys, that exist in our own backyards. Last time we don't realize what we already have, and to show the value of collaboration. So I would really love to, because what you're doing I think is so great. It's somewhat along the lines of what we were working with the Rewind Out Loud. So I just, you know, I'm not into reinventing the wheel, so I think we could come together and make the Restore event in cities even more fabulous by, you know, bringing that, the other aspect that we had. And the other, I'm a marketing person, so I don't kind of necessarily look at, like, oh, go on tour. But I look at, I put together a marketing package. So, but it's just important for me. I'm really looking to market the artist with the message and to make sure that the everyday person in our communities have access to that type of art. Like, we do because we, you know, we're in love with it, we know, and the people that are already hanging out at the poetry sets. But 95% or more of the community doesn't. Most of our community get their music, news, and art all from mainstream media, and it doesn't tell a good story about us. It doesn't tell a real story about us, and life does imitate art. So we start to act out what we see and behave that way. But that is not us, and that's not the, even the majority of us. And there are phenomenal artists on all levels every day that you would encounter. So, you know, I would love to just combine, you know, what I have with what you have, because the community, you give us, we were going to go in each community and do something anyway. Now we don't, wouldn't have to. We just, you know, the Restore Project, however you come in, we're just there to help. This is where we work together and not reinvent any wheels. This is just excellent. And then the Urban Tech Fair, that really just adds a good element. And the Urban Tech Fair, we're showcasing technology, but now, you know, they went from STEM to STEAM, and they're acknowledging how important art is in being creative and innovative. And that art needs to be a part of that equation. So this is just so exciting. Everyone.
Well, let's certainly talk about how we can collaborate. You know, again, we are national, so if we can leverage partners and create partnerships, you know, we're certainly open to that. And
yes, and we're national. We have 23 cities right now.
So
we have city leaders. We have, you know, we really have a base. So I just think it's, like I said, it's a good part. I was working, putting this tour together, and I came over to help out with the Urban Tech Fair. I was supposed to just be doing a little bit. Now I'm doing a big part, more. But then I was saying what it did for me, now we have people in cities. We have ground folk, you know. So, it's, you know, that's the issue when you're going into communities you haven't been in. So the Urban Tech Fair helps us with that. So, like I said, it's already about showcasing what we already have in our own backyard and bringing value to each city and to one another. So this is just ideal, Lamont. And so, you know, you've excited me. So for our audience, we really need you to – those in Texas, this is in Kilgore, K-I-L-G-O-R. Kilgore, Texas is the event on November the 15th. It's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. If you are interested in performing, what do they need to do?
If they're interested in performing, they should reach out to me. There's a poster, I think, in the group, and it has my contact information, how they can reach out. For this showcase, we have, you know, we're finalizing it because we're like 3 days out. You know, it's going to be heavily
It's basically done.
But they can still reach out because we're going to have another showcase, which will include rap. It will also include poetry that we're planning for the spring. And that might even be something we can partner with the Urban Tech Fair.
Tech Fair, I heard that tech background, so I know you're going to put on Tech Fair and Kilgore.
see how we can bring that to Texas. There's probably about 500,000 people here in East Texas. There's about seven different colleges, SFA, Texas College, Laterno University, which is one of the nation's leading engineering institutions. So there is a pretty significant market here that we could reach out to and see how we can collaborate and create this fair that also benefits restoration of people and communities. So,
yeah, that sounds wonderful. So, but now if you're not in the Texas area this weekend, you just go on to Facebook and you can just Google. If you go in the chat room, the direct links are there. Otherwise, all you need to do is just go on to Facebook and, okay, I think I did the same thing twice. I thought I did the group.
Yeah, I'll make sure I get
you can Google, is it Restore Project or Music for Love? I mean, they go on to Facebook to find a group. What do they need to do to find a group?
They need to go, to find a group, they just put in Restore Project East Texas, and that will take them right to our group. They can join. We'll add them in there. If they want to go to the event, they can actually go to the URL, http://goo.gl/G9, D as in dog, YUP as in Paul. That will take you directly to the event where you can click, you can see who's there. We got a host of Heaven 97. There's going to be music in there for the artists where you can go and download their music. I'll be performing the theme song, Still Standing, that I also recorded with Shirley Ralph, the original Dream Girl.
She's one of our Philly first ladies. She's married to Senator Vincent Hughes here.
That's right. Yeah, I have a song called Still Standing that she also recorded a rendition of that she uses for her HIV and AIDS awareness organization. So I'll be performing that song on Saturday at Restore Project, Music for Love, Still Standing, and people can download that. That also helps raise funds for our cause.
Okay. Now, I did put the link to the Facebook group in there, and I'll do this Google. So now you may also want to consider, Mr. IT, doing a smart URL, and you can customize your smart URL.
Okay.
The smart.it. This is for Love Event. And again, in the chat, all the links are here.
Oh, wonderful.
So, thank
you.
I put all the links in. All righty. Well, this has been great. We have 1 minute and 10 seconds on air. I'd just like to thank everyone for coming out to Spoken Word Poetry, the art, the industry, the viability. And we got a shout-out to Sweet Franchon. This is a dynamic woman. She's our co-host, and she's a very busy lady that is working, going to school. She's a producer and an artist, and you're getting ready for December the 11th. Is the final event, Peace, Love, and Poetry Soul Opera Edition. It is at Cafe, World Cafe out in Wilmington. And get your tickets early. It sells out. It's been selling out all year, so make sure you get your ticket for early. They're celebrating the sweet life, but just a celebration of life and all the great things that have happened this year. So that's Peace, Love, and Poetry Soul Opera Edition at the World Cafe Live, December 11th. Get your tickets now. You can go to www.peacelovepoetry.us. Peace, Love, Poetry.us. So you can go there to get more information and to purchase your tickets. And you can purchase them directly from the World Cafe live in Wilmington, Delaware. And we just ask everyone to tune in December for Spoken Word Poetry. And we're going to just recognize, you know, our top shows, some of our great guests, and we're just going to do a little celebration around that for everyone for the end of the year. Just recognize all the great people that participated in our best shows. And so, Lamont, you have 30 seconds, and the whole world listening. What would you have us to know?
I want everyone to know that they're important and that they matter, and that community starts with each one of us loving ourselves and one another. And I hope that you all, whatever you give, you get. So thank you so much for having me on the show, and I look forward to collaborating with you in time to come.
All righty. Thank you so much. Have a great week, and I'll speak with you soon, Lamont. Peace.
Okay, thanks. Bye.